Johnny, the Angels are going to be in Oakland tonight, taking on the Oakland Athletics, maybe soon to be the Las Vegas Athletics. We're not really sure, right? And so we're going to talk all about that series, get you ready for that series. Plus, we're going to talk about the 2021 A's versus the 2022 A's, because they're very different. They lost some mats from this year to last year, right? And we're also going to talk about who our MVP of our bullpen is so far this season. You're Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcast. If you're listening on the audio side, thank you so much. You can rate and review the pod 5 stars, please. And if you're watching on the video side, you can subscribe and click that bell on YouTube and be notified every time a new episode hits.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Locked On Angels. You got the Frisch Brothers here with you. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Super Halo Bros in the house, and we're excited that we're heading up to Oakland to take on our AL West rivals, the Oakland A's, and they are a much different team than what we faced in previous years, especially in 2021, because the A's have always been a tough challenge, right, Mike?
Right. They've always been a tough challenge, and we have played them so close. If you look at the win-loss record, it's extremely close. The runs scored, runs against is always extremely close, and they have been a rival since early 2000 when they started to get good again, and we were good. And so this actually will be an interesting series because we're really good, and the A's, not so good, John.
Yeah, I don't think that you can ever count out the A's. They always find a way to score. They always find a diamond in the rough, and they actually have some decent players on this team. And so that's important for us to look at. That's why we want to look at how this team stacks up against the 2021 team. But big news that came out yesterday, Chase Silseth, a double-A pitcher from the Rocket City Trash Pandas, is going to make the start tonight. Yeah. How about that?
I love this move. I think I'm just hyped about it because that's where Detmers came from as well, from double-A. Isn't it interesting? Mike Trout was in double-A when he got called up, and it seems like the good players that the Angels have brought up are from double A. Like, they skip triple A completely.
Yeah.
And they're brought directly to the major leagues. And so I wonder if there's something about our system that we put some of those really great prospects in the double A system, and it helps prepare them for major leagues.
Yeah, I think the big difference between double A and triple A, as we all know, is that triple A is definitely hitter friendly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times our pitchers who are pitching prospects will work out in double A mostly because they don't want those guys to get mashed in triple A, because it's not a good reflection on the type of pitcher that this person can be. So I think that's why you see a lot of guys coming up from double A, unless they've been in the majors and then get sent back down, kind of like Jose Suarez. I think that's a situation where he's going to be in triple A, but I think that it has everything to do with the fact that it's just so hitter friendly that you don't get a good read, and no pun intended, you don't get a good read and you don't get a good interpretation of the kind of pitcher you're getting in the majors. So I think that's why a lot of these guys come up from double A. But let's look at some of his stats so far. He's got 5 starts. Let's not gloss over the fact that he was drafted in those 20 pitchers that were drafted last season in 2021.
Yeah, just last year. Yeah.
He's gone 2-0 with a 1.73 ERA, 26 innings pitched, and 37 Ks. How about that?
Wow.
So Silseth is somebody that we're excited to see on the mound. I don't imagine he'll go very long because this is his first major league start, but I think the team, like the A's, is a great starting point, kind of like how we saw Diaz against the Nationals last weekend. I think this is a great team to try somebody new out on because it's not the mashing Matt Chapmans and Olsons of the A's of yesteryear. It's a team that I think is manageable, and I think that Silseth will be able to handle it well.
Yeah. Do you think high or low? Is he going 4 innings? You going low, or are you going higher than that?
I'm going higher than 4, definitely. I think.
How many pitches are you letting him throw if you're Joe Maddon?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's stretched out with 5 starts and and as many innings pitched as he has. I think that he could at least hit 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great if he got to 90. Yeah.
We'll see how far he lets him go unless this pesky A's lineup can get to him. That's going to be Silseth on Friday. He's going to go. And then Jonathan Diaz is back, and he's going to pitch game one on Saturday. Biceps Lorenzen is going to pitch on game two on Saturday. Remember, we've got a doubleheader to make up for some of the games that would have been missed because of the late start to the season.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Sandoval, our boy Sandy, will be going on Sunday. Man, he's just dominating this season. He's cruising.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
Looks really good. I think that first game of the doubleheader with Jonathan Diaz will be a tell about if Diaz is going to be on this team moving forward. And so I hope he pitches really well. I'm a fan. And so I hope he pitches really, really well in that game, because I think that he'll be a great addition to that starting rotation moving forward.
So 1 year ago, the A's lineup looked something like this. You had Sean Murphy, who is still there.
Yep.
And is one of the best catchers in all of baseball, and one of the best offensive catchers, I believe, too. There's not many great catchers out there. Is there not, like, you know, got the
catchers it doesn't feel like that
year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's the Kansas City guy, and then there's, I'd have to sit and think on that for a moment.
Yeah. Perez is probably the only like offensive.
He's the guy
catcher
that stands out as an offensive guy, right? I'm trying to think of who else would be offensive. Who's the guy with Philadelphia, with the Phillies, their catcher?
Real Muto. Yeah. He's also a star catcher. And then of course you got Yadier Molina, but he's just
sure
in his last season, so.
Yeah, Yadi is like head and shoulders above everybody, and I think people just like him.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Matt Olson, who destroyed us every time he came to Angel Stadium, he loved hitting the home run to right field. He played first. Jed Lowry was at second base. They still have Elvis Andrews. Matt Chapman is now with the Blue Jays at third, and then Mark Canha is now with the Mets.
He is.
Ramon Laureano is returning soon to the A's. Seth Brown is still with the A's, and they had Mitch Moreland. They also had Starling Marte, right?
And they traded for him late season. Yep.
Yeah, they traded for him. That was a big win now move, right?
Yeah.
And they got him last season, but now he is with the Mets with both Chris Bassitt and Mark Canha. So the Mets have become the A's of the East from last year. That's what it
looks
like.
And they're winning. So they brought that A's winning mentality with
them.
They
did. Certainly. Yeah. Now, 2022 is a little bit of a mix and match lineup, but they've got Seth Brown still. You know what I love is whenever Brown gets a hit or a home run, the A's fans say, Brown always delivers. Like, UPS.
Oh, that's good. That's good. They got to have something, right? They got to hang on to something right now.
Exactly. Now, Tony Kemp was with them last season, and he is there again. And a good Angel follow is Kyle Kishimoto on Twitter. If you're not listening, or if you're not following Kyle Kishimoto, he's a great follow because he provides some great Angels insight, but also that baseball insight. And he is a big Tony Kemp fan. And then there's Sheldon Noisy. I had to confirm that his last name is Noisy. He's been hitting at DH. And I got some insight from a friend of mine. His name is Julio, and he hosts an A's podcast called the Town Tailgate Podcast. He says that Sheldon Noisy has been a big surprise this season. They're getting Max Muncy vibes from him, and if you remember, Muncy was drafted by the A's, and they actually drafted another Max Muncy last season. Isn't that funny?
How creative.
They've got Kevin Smith at first base, Kristen Patchy at in the outfield. I'm sorry, Kevin Smith is at third base, and then Chad Pinder, who was with the team last season, is also with the team. So very different looking, but again, I still think that you can't slack off against the A's for sure.
No, you can't. And so then last year, their pitching staff was Sean Manaea, Frankie Montez, and Chris Bassitt as their top three guys, right? And Lou Trevino was the closer. And each of those guys are pretty solid, pretty strong, and would give us fits. They only have Frankie Montas there now. He's the only guy that they haven't traded away. Mm-hmm. And they got a guy named Paul Blackburn, who is a kind of a traveler through the major leagues, but he's actually having a pretty good season.
Yeah.
He's maybe their best starter right
Killer
now.
Killer start right now.
And then Danny Jimenez, our friend Julio, said that Danny actually took over the closer spot because Lou Trevino was just terrible. He was awful. We know how that feels.
Yeah, exactly. And then he said AJ Puck is somebody else to look out for in terms of pitching. He's just been hurt, but he's a really highly touted prospect for the A's. Of course, Bob Melvin was stolen from the to the Padres by the Padres, I should say.
Yeah.
And Mark Kotze, Orange County native, is now the manager of the A's. Now, this is an interesting stat. The average attendance for the A's was 8,600 last season.
Yeah.
And now it's down to 7,700, and some games have been in the low 3,000s. And
ouch.
From all accounts, and from what I can tell from diehard A's fans, I have sympathy for the diehard A's fans. The stadium is just not accommodating the fans.
No. Yeah.
We have heard things like they're short-staffed, and the upkeep is not going very well. It's just kind of sad because Oakland natives and Bay Area natives want the team to stay there. I would feel terrible if the Angels clearly didn't want to stay in Anaheim and they wanted to be somewhere else in another state. And I just think it's unfair to the fans what the ownership is doing. So people who are talking about their attendance, I think, like, let's back off.
It feels kind of like a sabotage, right? It feels a bit
self-sabotage.
Like the ownership is doing that. If you haven't watched that classic A's movie, I'm blinking on the name.
Moneyball?
Thank you. That'll give you kind of a sense of maybe how some of the, obviously it's got a Hollywood spin on it, but that'll give you a sense of how some of the inner workings have been in Oakland when, I mean, they had to fight to make a trade and the GM had to pay some money. Billy Beane had to pay some money, kicking some money to get that guy. And
yeah.
And so that, there has been this push and pull in Oakland, and they're not looking to spend too much money. I think the problem is that they have some really creative people up there who can put a great team together, and the A's stay competitive. Maybe they should just not be competitive at all and tank, and then it would cause the owner to maybe spend some money. Who knows? But
who knows?
I'm glad that we're not in that situation with the Halos.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So it's a good series to look forward to. Four games. Remember, Friday, Saturday, two games, doubleheader, and of course, Sunday.
Coming up on Locked On Angels, we'll talk some more about the A's series against the Angels, and we're going to give you our keys to the weekend series against the Oakland A's. But first, John, Locked On Angels is brought to you by Built Bar.
It is brought to you by Built Bar. They're the perfect snacks for summer, and summer is coming fast. And when you're on the go and you need some food, Built Bars are there for you. It's great to take on family vacations so you can make sure everyone has a bar and is fueled up for your adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy, they're delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. Good food doesn't have to taste bad.
Right.
With Built Bar, you can have both. All you have to do is go to built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. And if you have not tried those Built Puffs yet, you need to. They come in great flavors like banana cream pie and even churro. And who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro?
It's delicious.
And every Built Bar is only 130 to 140 calories. And if you can't decide on a flavor, the best thing to do is try the mixed box. The mixed box comes in 12 flavors of bars and puffs. So you can try the regular bars. You can try the marshmallow puffs. What better deal than that? Built Bar makes sure that there's something for everyone. So go to built.com to try out your favorites. Banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, many, many more. They're all delicious, and they have new flavors coming out all the time. So go and check them out at built.com. And when you go to built.com today, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Get yourself a Built Bar today.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. And now, for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. You get recaps of all the MLB games with analysis from the local experts, from the local Locked On experts. John and I have been a part of that. It's so much fun to do. It takes fans through the season like no other network, and it's free and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
So for the very first time, we have been so thrilled. The first time in a long time, we've been thrilled with this bullpen. The moves that we made in the offseason were winning moves for this bullpen. We weren't getting no-name guys. We were getting guys with proven stats and a proven approach at the plate. So it's very good to see our bullpen really succeeding this season. But we want to ask the question, who is the MVP of the bullpen so far this season? What do you think, Mike?
You know, I'm looking at the stats right now. Two thoughts. One, I'm trying to think, when was the last time we were really excited about our bullpen? Was it Houston Street? Maybe back in 2014.
Houston Street, Jason Grilley. Yeah. Joe Smith was part of that bullpen.
Yes.
And we even had a couple of those guys in the 2015 season, too.
Right.
Fernando Salas was somebody that we relied on a lot that Mike Socha loved to bring in. He came over from the Cardinals. And so we had a good stretch of years with a good bullpen, especially in 14 through, I want to say, 2016. And that was probably the last time they were good.
Right. At least that we really enjoyed them. And so looking at these names, Tapera, Loop, Raisel Iglesias, and Ollie Ortega, their numbers are incredible. Tapera's pitched in 14 games. He's got a 2.35 ERA, 1-0, 15 and a third innings pitched. Loop, 14 games, 1.93 ERA. He's 0-2 with 14 innings pitched. And Raisel, 13 games, a 2.31 ERA, 1-0 record. 11 and two-thirds, seven saves. He hasn't blown a save yet this year. And then Ollie Ortega, 11 games, 1-1, 1.65 ERA, 16 and two-thirds innings pitched. A couple of thoughts here. One, those wins are important because Bobby Valentine actually said this, that the bullpen needs to at least win 60 games to be able to win 90 games in a season.
Right.
And so having our bullpen get some wins is really good. And so as I look at the team, as I look at the bullpen, look at those four names, I'm going to go out of the box here and pick an MVP so far, and I'm going to pick Ollie Ortega, and here's why. We expected Tapera to be who he is. We expected Aaron Loop to be who he is, and we all knew that Raisel is going to be a dominant closer.
Yeah.
I think Ollie Ortega has actually been really great as a bridge to
those
guys.
What a surprise, right?
Right? And I think that is what makes me want to make him the MVP so far, because I'm pleasantly surprised by his tenacity. I'm pleasantly surprised by his control, and he's come in and really blown some people away. I mean, he hasn't struck out everybody, obviously, but he's utilized the defense behind him and has really performed well. And so being a bridge, getting to Tapera, Loop, and Raisel in a year and in a baseball world where you go about five innings as a starter, and then it's that sixth inning that has to bridge to the seventh inning. And Ollie has been that guy in the sixth inning to get to Tapera, Loop, and Raisel. So I'm going to lean in his direction and give him my MVP, the Mike Valuable Player. How about you?
That's not fair. I don't have an M in my name. Come on.
Well, that sucks for you.
It's mom's fault.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, so I actually would have picked Ollie Ortega as well, but just for the sake of being different.
It's like we're brothers.
Yeah, right? I agree with you because he has been a perfect bridge. He's been doing such a great job and definitely a surprise and definitely somebody that we've been able to come to count on. He does get in some situations sometimes, but he always finds his way out, and I really appreciate that. But I got to give it to Raisel to have seven saves already this season is just cementing the fact that this is a winning team because there's been save opportunities.
Yes.
And that's what I really like about this team. It shows that we're ahead, and when you need to bring somebody in a close game, Raisel is the guy to lock it down. He even came in that tie game against the Rays on Wednesday afternoon and kept that ninth inning close. So he kept it at 2-2. And of course, we lost later on in the game, but that was because of Rob Manfred's ghost runner rule, right? So. I'm not bitter at all. But I have to give it to Raisel. And even when he came in after Michael Lorenzen got 8 1/3 and Raisel struggled, he was frustrated. And I liked seeing the fire. He was smacking his glove in the dugout because he knows he's better than that. And we know he's better than that.
Yeah.
And it's not that he was like throwing a fit. It was just frustration at the fact that like, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. I can do better than this. And we all were behind him. I didn't feel bad about the fact that he was upset in that dugout. I thought it was great that he was upset in the dugout because it was like, oh, somebody cares. He really does care.
Right.
And
right.
I really liked seeing that from him. So I'm going to give it to Raisel, but I would be remiss to not mention Jimmy Herget. I think that Jimmy Herget has carried a lot of innings out of nowhere on his back. Yeah, the human glitch. He started that game, that bullpen game where Noah Syndergaard got sick and he went three innings. And who would have expected Jimmy Herget to do as well as he's been doing? And he was great last season when we picked him up from Texas. He got released, and then we wiped him. And he's just been a great addition to the bullpen, somebody that you don't need to rely on for high leverage stuff, just getting you through the situation, getting you through to the next guy, especially in those games that have been a blowout, like the other two games in the Rays series, especially when we're up so many runs, you can bring in somebody like a Jimmy Herget to just get you through and save the other arms that you need to save for the more important situations.
Eat some innings, right? I love the I love what's been trending on Twitter with Jimmy Herget when he struck out that batter against Tampa Bay, and he actually hit the batter, but the guy still swung and struck out. My favorite point of that, though, was some people were saying, this is what happens when I play MLB The Show. I'll get hit, but I'll strike out, right? I think that was the most relatable thing I've seen on Twitter about Jimmy Herget all season long. So.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So it's been a great season so far for this bullpen. So don't let anybody else tell you otherwise, because even when there are situations where like Raisel Iglesias will struggle, those are going to come and go. Those are going to happen. Yeah. Not everyone's perfect all the time. Even Aaron Loop, who, you know, the first pitch of the extra inning game was a double. It was like, man, it's just that game. It's just that kind of game.
Yeah.
And Aaron Loop is better than that. And he's proven that. So
yeah.
I think that we are in a much better position than we have been in the last few years. And we actually spent money on this bullpen so that we could do stuff like this. And it's proven to be effective for sure.
Well, and to affirm Loop, like he wouldn't have given up a run if there wasn't a ghost runner. So, I mean, that was one of those things. You start an inning off and you got a double, right?
Yeah.
But he already has runners on and it changes your mentality. I would have bet that he would have totally handled that a different way. And speaking of betting, Locked On Angels is brought to you by Bet Online.
Well done.
Check out betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, which are intense right now, and of course, Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today, or you can use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline is where the game starts.
Got your keys to a successful weekend for our Halos, a la Mark Gubiza. It's great to have him back in the broadcast booth and healthy and everything. And he loves giving his key to the game and using a song. And so that's what we're going to do right now. So, Mike, when it comes to the Angels and the A's this weekend, what is your musical key to a series victory?
All right. I'm a 90s kid, so I'm going to go back to my roots.
Okay.
And I've picked Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. I'm never going to be let down, right? Or you're ever going to keep me down. So, you know, the Angels got knocked down against Tampa in that last game, and now it's time to get up again. And the A's are down, and we have to be aware that they might get up again. And they always seem to get up against the Angels. Always, always, it's close. The wins and losses are close, as I've mentioned. The runs scored and runs against are always close. And here's what I think the keys for the Angels are this weekend. One, we got to have our full team. So, Joe, no days off, please, right?
No Ferris Bueller, please. No.
No. And some people have noticed that Trout has been taking days off when Ohtani pitches. I don't think that there's any sort of connection there, it's time for everybody to play this weekend. This is one of those weekends we have to have a winning record against the AOS, because we have been terrible against them in the last few years. So I really think that the key one is you got to have a full team. It's time to get back up again. Second key is we need to think like Cobra Kai. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
No mercy.
All right? And because we got to take full advantage of this A's team that is down for the count right now.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest key, third key, is we got to steal some bags, because our offense has been scoring in bunches. And then we're quiet for long stretches. And
Too long.
And I think that we need to steal some bags. I think we need to unleash some of those fast guys. Like, I think Tyler Wade should be in that lineup a whole lot more this weekend, because he's going to be somebody that can steal some bags. I think we got to unleash Shohei Ohtani. He's not going to be pitching this weekend. So let's give him the sign to steal. I think stealing bags is going to be key this weekend. And it gets those opposing pitchers, it gets them thinking about other things rather than the pitch they're going to throw, right?
They can't focus directly on the hitter. They got a distraction on first, exactly.
Right. Very distracting, and I think that it puts them into a defensive posture instead of an offensive posture. And so I think it also allows the Angel hitters to see some more pitches, because they might pitch out or they might try some sort of pitch to maybe a slide step to be able to slow down the running game. But the Angels can run, and they're a quick team. And so I would love for them to try to steal some bags this weekend. Let's do some tub thumping this weekend against the Oakland A's. We've been knocked down. It's time to get up again. That's my keys for the weekend. What about you, Johnny?
And if it doesn't go well, you can have a whiskey drink, a vodka drink, a cider drink, a lager drink, you know, all four.
And sing the songs that remind you of the good times and sing the songs that remind you of the better times.
Mike, when a pitcher is dealing, what car analogy do we use?
I'm trying to think of what Yacht Rock song you're going to pick here. I don't know. Tell me.
How about we say a pitcher is cruising?
Oh, okay.
And I picked the Yacht Rock classic, the smooth jam, Cruisin'.
I love it.
By Smokey Robinson. I want to do some cruising. Okay. This weekend.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, I'm going to look at all four pitchers that are going to start this weekend, and I'm going to tell you their whip. Whip.
Oh, whip. Got it.
Chase Silseth in the minors has a 0.85 whip. That's walks and hits per innings pitch. So that
means good.
Less than one person is getting on base for his average amount of innings. So that's a great whip. Now we'll see how that holds up against a major league team like the A's. So he's going to do some cruising through the inning because that means guys are not getting on base very often. And that means he's getting guys out, he's striking them out, things like that. So that's why I'm excited to see his whip. Now, Jonathan Diaz, in the one start that he's had, he has a 1.400 whip. So that's about a batter and a half getting on every inning against him.
Yeah.
It's kind of high, but it's also one start. So I actually looked at his minors whip, and it's 0.957. So about one per inning. And if he can reduce that even further, then that'll be awesome to see. He'll be cruising through the weekend. Michael Lorenzen currently sits at a 1.165 whip. He's averaging 2 walks a game. He's got 5 starts and 10 walks. So if he can keep up that good ground ball rate that he has going right now, I think that we'll see him cruise through this A's lineup. And of course, Patrick Sandoval has a 1.275 whip. He's got a 10% walk percentage, so 10% of the batters that he's facing are getting walked. I think that he can get under 10. But he's the kind of guy, if you look at the way he's getting outs, he's the kind of guy who's doing it all by himself. He's striking out guys all the time, which is really great. And his BABIP, the batting average on balls in play, so when he throws a pitch and it gets hit into the field, it's sitting around 300.
Okay.
And that means that guys are getting hits off of him. So if he can utilize his defense a little bit more and trust his stuff, that his defense is going to pick him up behind him and give the batter a pitch to hit on the ground so that the defense can get them out at first, I think that Patrick Sandoval will have some success. So let's see them get that whip down, and let's see them cruise. I'm no Smokey Robinson.
You hit that note, though. That was good. I love that. I love this. I love this conversation, and I can't wait for this weekend. And we appreciate that you're making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day, and make your second listen if you want more baseball information. The Locked On MLB podcast, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan, we call him Sully. He wants you to call him Sully, and he brings his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. And it's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, we have a Monday mailbag coming up, so be sure to get your question in to us at Locked On Angels on Twitter, or you can get us on Twitter and Instagram at Super Halo Bros. There's already some questions coming in, so feel free to send those all weekend long. Any thoughts you have, check out our voicemail line. Now, this number will be in the episode description as well as on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. 714-409-6396. Give us a call. Anytime. What do we have in store on Monday?
Well, you set me up nicely because we are going to allow the Angel fans to set the agenda. So get your questions into us. That's probably my favorite day and my favorite
episode.
I love
it. It's so much
fun. We get to interact with you guys. And thank you for all your comments on the YouTube side.
Yeah.
We see you all. And people are watching and listening from all over the country and all over the world. We've got fans in, Japan, of course, and we got New York fans, and we've got fans everywhere. And so
Cambodia.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please get your questions into us. We're going to answer all of that. Plus, we're going to recap the four games that took place this weekend against the Oakland A's.
We're going to be cruising. I can feel it.
And some tub thumping.
All right, y'all. Until Monday, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
And you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you right here on Monday on Locked On Angels.